I'm super excited to be here, and I know what God is going to bring is going to be absolutely amazing. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Will. My beautiful wife, Nicole, is not here this morning because she's at kids camp. So I'm all alone. She's usually my loudest supporter. So help me out this morning and in some support so I don't feel so alone this morning, all right? That'd be great. So I've got a good message this morning, an awesome message. I was really concerned because midway through this week, God haven't given me anything yet. And I was like, Lord, I'd love it to have something beforehand. It's never great when God just drops you straight in it and you get the word as you go on a Sunday morning. So I said, Lord, don't do that to me, please. And then yesterday afternoon, I sat with God and he asked me, he says, well, who are you, Eliab, Saul, or David? And I said, where do I go, Lord? He says, go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. So if you want to page with me there this morning, page with us, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, those of you who know your Bible should already know where we're going this morning. And it's going to be absolutely amazing. So, Father God, I pray that you bless this message this morning, Lord. I pray that you prepare the soil for your word this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Open the people's hearts and minds, Lord, to what you want to say to them this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I know that this morning, Lord, there's some individuals here that you are going to be specifically speaking to, Lord, and you're going to take pieces of this message and make it applicable to them. And I pray that they'll be open and receptive to that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've got two armies in the beginning. Chapter 17 opens. Two armies on each on their own mountain, drawn up for battle against each other. The Israelites and Philistine on the opposite side. And between them is a valley that separates them. So, it's in this valley that most of the fighting will be going on. And from the ranks of Philistine, this colossal man, Goliath, comes out and he challenges the Israelites. This is a big guy, right? The Bible said in verse 4 that a champion went out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, almost 10 feet or 2.9 meters. He had a bronze helmet on his head and he wore a coat of mail. That coat weighed 5,000 shekels, which relates to about 126 pounds or 57 kilograms, right? That's what his coat of mail was weighing. He had a bronze shin armor on his legs, and he had a bronze javelin across his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So it was a long, strong beam. And the tip of that was just weighed about 6.8 kilograms or 15 pounds. This was a big guy. He was intimidating, right? And he was shouting at the ranks of Israelites, saying to them, among you, is there one man that will fight me? Is there one man that will come out to challenge me? And if you win me, we, the Philistines, will bow down and be your servants. But if I am the victor, then you, Israelites, will bow down to us as servants. He mocked them and he defied their ranks and he mocked God, right? In verse 11, Saul and all of Israel were so afraid and they were filled with dismay. They were like, we are not going to fight that man. No one was brave enough out of the ranks of Israel to stand up and say, I will go forward, I will go fight this guy. And the best of it all is Goliath was doing this for 40 days. So 40 days, these armies were camped against each other. Every day, Goliath was going out and challenging them. And no one from the Israelites came forward to take him up on that challenge. Now we're going to jump ahead to verse 17. Jesse, David's father, said to David, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain. An ephah is about 35 liters of grain. And these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to your brothers at camp. Also take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousand. See how your brothers fare and bring some token from them. You see, Jesse's three oldest sons were in that encampment with the Israelites at war. And he sent David to just get something from them. I imagine as a father, he was concerned about what was going on there and he just wanted to know that his boys are still all right.
So David went out to go and get a token from his brothers, see how they were. Something interesting to note here, that he sent 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. Jesse was generous even in the time of war. He didn't need to send anything else than he needed to just supply for his own sons. But he did it. He sent 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. Generosity, even in the time of war, even when my resources are scarce. You see, it's a biblical principle that you'll see right throughout the Bible. So David is on his way to the encampment of where his brothers is going. In verse 23, he gets there, and as they it reads, as they talked, behold, Goliath, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, came from the Philistine ranks again and spoke the same words as before. But the difference is David heard him this time. And all of the men of Israel, when they saw this man, fled from him, terrified. And the Israelites said, have you seen this man who has come out? Surely he has come out to defy Israel. And the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes and service in Israel. That was a great gift. The reward was great. A large sum of money was offered to the man that was willing to fight with Goliath. Your family, and on top of that, your family will be freed from taxes to the crown. No tax for you. And on top of that, you as the victor over Goliath get to marry the king's daughter. Man, that's a sweet deal. King Saul was really, really trying to motivate the guys. You know, say, come on, guys, one of you need to knock this guy down so we can get on with our lives, right? But no one would do it. And actually, I think Saul should have done it. If he had the faith that he should have had in God as the appointed king of Israel, he should have stepped out and fought Goliath himself. But he wasn't willing to, because he didn't have that faith. And he offered a great deal of money, and he offered his daughter's hand for someone else to go do that in his stead. Already in the wrong set of mind to be a king of Israel. In verse 26, we see that David said to the men standing around him in the encampment, because he was visiting with his brothers. He said to them, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David kept asking that to everyone there. He kept them, what shall be done to the man? What shall be done to the man? He asked everybody there. Why? Because he don't know the answer? No, because he was trying to get the guy stirred up. Say, hey, what will be done if you defeat Goliath? And everybody gave him the same answer. And the men told him, thus it shall be done for the man who kills him. You see, I'm asking you this question as well this morning. I'm asking you over and over, what reward awaits you when you get to heaven? What reward awaits you when you choose Jesus? You get to be with Jesus. You get the King of Kings' son. You get to be his bride. So you get the girl, right? That's reward number one. You get riches beyond what you can imagine on earth. So you get that great deal of money. We're going to walk on golden paving in Revelations, we read. You are released from your burden to the throne. All your debt is paid when Jesus hung on that cross. You see that the same prize is up for grabs for us. And all we need to do is believe and choose Jesus and say, Father God, I choose you. And I get the very same prize that Saul offered to the men there that day to defeat Goliath. And I'm asking you, and I'm encouraging you, what awaits for you in heaven? Think about it. Keep that top of mind. And think about those who have not achieved that yet. Those who have not made that decision for God. Because of their stubbornness, some of them, some stubborn hearts in church. David saw Goliath for who he was in the spirit. He was just an uncircumcised Philistine who is standing in defiance of the armies of God. That's all David saw. He didn't see this big giant. He didn't see this big guy. He didn't see that what all the other guy, that intimidation. David didn't feel that. He just felt like this is just an uncircumcised Philistine trying to intimidate the armies of God. And do you see how he's raising up the men of Israel, saying they are the armies of God? He's seeing the value in his own people because he was looking in the spirit. David saw the value in his own people that they themselves overlooked. And why was that? Because they were looking in the physical realm. They were looking with the physical eyes. They were seeing this big giant, impossible to gain a victory over him. In verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he said to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why did you come here? With whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and evilness of heart, for you have come down that you just might see the battle." See, David's brother puts him down and reminds him of who he is in the physical realm. You're just supposed to be looking after the sheep. You're just a shepherd, David. What are you doing here? Why are you stirring up the men? Know your place. I believe there's a lot of people here with callings on their lives that's doing the same as David. That's stirring up the people, starting to walk in their calling, starting to feeling the unction of the anointing. But then someone comes and puts you in your place and tells you who you are in the physical world. I'm here to remind you of who you are in the spirit. You're a David in the spirit, amen? You are anointed. You see, you got to do what you got to do. And let's see what David did. How did David treat his brother, his oldest brother, nonetheless, really putting him down hard? Because that's hard, you know, just saying, "You're just a shepherd. What are you doing here?" David responds to this by just turning away and keep doing what he's doing. Amen. So I want to encourage you this morning. If you are in that position where somebody is putting you down because you're doing for God what you need to do, you just turn away and you keep doing what you're doing. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. Do what the Holy Spirit guides you to do. In verse 31, finally, King Saul catches wind of David's words in the camp and he summons him. And so many times this happens when authority catches wind of what we are doing in church or what we are stirring up amongst the people. And they will also might sometimes try to discourage us. Just like Saul did to David, telling him that he is only a boy. And Goliath is a seasoned warrior. He has no place trying to fight with Goliath. "You have no chance," Saul said. But how did David react to this when somebody told him that he has no chance against this colossal man? You see, because David wasn't looking in the flesh, he was looking in the spiritual world. David testified about killing the lion and the bear when he looked after the sheep. Let's go read that. You see, testimony is so important. We need to testify to each other. We need to testify to those that try and put us down, to what God has done for us in our lives. In verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant kept his father's sheep. And when there came a lion, or again a bear, and it took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and smote it, and I delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and I smote it down and killed it. Your servant killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. He has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." David testifies. So when you feel put down, and when you feel somebody is putting in you in your place, when you feel the load is getting too much, you need to testify and remind yourself of how good God's been and what God has done for you. You need to testify and encourage other people around you and next to you. It's important, people, that we testify. The devil just loves silencing our testimonies. He loves it. He loves it when we keep quiet. Quiet Christian is a good Christian, according to the devil. That's true. He loves a quiet Christian. You just stay quiet. You just don't say nothing. You can know what you know and live the way you live, but I don't want you to say nothing. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to keep quiet. But this morning, I want to encourage you to go out and testify. Each and every one of us has a testimony inside of our spirits that God has done for us. This week, I want to challenge you. Find somebody, testify. Push your testimonies. This week, especially, push it. Even if it's somebody that's heard it before, because I guarantee you, they will need an encouragement this week, and you will be there at that appointed time, and you will share your testimony and say, hey, look what God done for me. Remember what we've got. Remember what we're going to get in heaven. Remember the riches. Remember the bride that we're going to get. Remember that your sins is paid for on the cross. Jesus done it all. You not need to do anything more. Encourage each other. Like David did, stirring up the ranks of Israel. Say, come on, what would be done to the man who's going to stand before Goliath? What would you get? They were all afraid. And don't back down. If somebody in an authoritative position comes and puts you down. David didn't back down. He testified. He said, this is what the Lord has done for me. David had faith. David had relationship. He walked with God. He knew what he knew. Where are you at this morning? I encourage you to have relationship with God. I encourage you to study his word so that you can know what you know and know what you are supposed to do. In verse 38, Saul finally agrees to David, reluctantly I might add, and say, all right then. If you have to, go and fight Goliath then, and may God be with you. But what does Saul do? And this is sometimes, a lot of the times, what authoritative figures do. They say, do it my way. And he dresses David in his armor. It must have been a privilege to be dressed in the king's armor. You know? That must have been a big privilege. To take the king's sword in your hand. But David could not go, you see. Don't try and do the things the world's way if God has told you different. Don't try and do anything anybody else's way. You're seeing on telly and saying, oh, this is the way it's done. No, that's not necessarily how God wants you to do it. So in your calling, what you are supposed to do, find your unique way that God has told you to do it. Amen? That's what you should be doing. Don't do it the way other people is doing it. Do it the way that God calls you to do. You do not need that endorsement to function in your calling. David didn't need the endorsement of Saul. He didn't need Saul's sword and Saul's armor to go and face Goliath. You see, because he was already anointed. In chapter 17, he was already anointed as king. Or in chapter 16, one chapter before this, David was already anointed as king. You see, you are already anointed. You do not need that endorsement. You are already anointed. I see some people are waiting to say, I cannot do this because I need a church to back me. God says, no, you are already anointed. God, I can't do this because I need to be part of a big organization to back me. God says, no, you are already anointed. You see, you need to function in that which God has called you to function. You are already anointed. Even if you do it in your living room, you're already anointed. Amen. Can I stir up the ranks of the armies of God this morning? Amen. You are already anointed. See, I don't want there to be a doubt in your mind that you, this morning, that you have a calling, because you do, and that you cannot walk in it right now. The devil loves to come tell us and whisper in our ear, you can't do this right now, you're not ready. Nobody thought David was ready. Saul even told him, you're just a youth, you're so young, red in the face. So, in verse 42, we read when Goliath laid eyes on David for the first time. So, when the Philistine looked around and saw David, he scorned and despised him. For he was but an adolescent with a healthy reddish color and a fair face. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you should come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give you flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath was insulted when David walked out on the battlefield. He was expecting something else. And they offer him this scrawny little boy, red in the face, with a sling in his hand and a shepherd's rod. He was so insulted that he says, you come to me? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? Right. This is awesome. Goliath was offended. How did David respond to that? Let's see. Because David's response is what I want to draw your attention to this morning. In verse 45. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and cut off your head. How did David know that? He already knew God delivered this giant into his hand. David was just speaking prophetically. He didn't profoundly knew that he was going to cut off Goliath's head, but he knew that God was going to deliver Goliath into his hand. And I will give the corpses of the army of the Philistine this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is the Lord's. God says there's some battles that some of you are facing, and you're feeling quite intimidated by the situation. God says the battle is mine. Don't fight. Don't fight as hard as you do. In most cases, you are called to do nothing. That's the most difficult thing to do nothing. But God says, do nothing. The battle is mine. I will sort it out, says the Lord. David knew that, and David knew what it was going to come to. He told Goliath, you're going to die today, boy. Goliath was full of himself. And what did David bring? David brought faith. David brings encouragement. David brings the honor and glory to God's name. David sees and speaks the spiritual things that are unseen. David brought God. What are you bringing to your situation? What are you bringing to church? What are you bringing to your fellow Christians? Are you bringing faith? Are you bringing the unseen things? What are you bringing? I want to challenge you on that. How many of you invite God to your battle, to every meeting, to every encounter that you have with people? This week, my wife and I, on Friday was our wedding anniversary. Our 10th wedding anniversary. I add that. And we were walking through the mall. And as we were walking through the mall, we were inviting God to walk with us. See, because God's in every facet of our lives. And Nicole met somebody that she knew. I didn't know this person, so I introduced myself. And the unction of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and he said, I need you to pray for this woman. I said, okay, Lord, what for? He says, relationships. Pray for relationships. And I basically interrupted her mid-sentence. I say, sorry, I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit. Can I pray for you? She's like, oh, yeah, I suppose. I say, all right, great. And I started praying in the middle of the mall. And I started praying for relationships. I started praying for breakthrough of relationships for her. And after we were done praying, she's like, wow, this is amazing. I got all my family over from overseas. She says, and the relationships are really not great. I said, God's going to restore that for you. And God has this meeting, he arranged this meeting today to remind you that it's his battle. How many of you invite God to the mall? Prayer in the middle of the mall should be a normal thing for Christians. It should be a normal thing for us. You see, we should be an influential people that touch people's lives wherever we go. People should know us by what we carry.
People should say, oh man, she's, that's a child of God. You get close to her, she's going to pray for you. Amen. What is it that you bring? Are you Eliab that puts people down and only look into the physical realm? Are you, when somebody stands up and start doing for something for God, you put them back down and say, hey, remember your place? Are you Eliab? Or are you Saul, the authoritative figure that tells people how they should do it? Say, I know I ain't doing it, but I'm just going to tell you how you should do it. I see you doing it, so let me tell you how you should do it. Are you telling people how they can fail? Or are you David that brings faith and encouragement to the situation? Are you David that brings honor and glory to God's name, that sees and speaks the things that are unseen, not of this world? Amen. So, let's read from verse 48 what happened. David put his hand into the bag and took out a stone and slung it. It struck the Philistine, sinking into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck down the Philistine and slew him. But no sword was in David's hand. God wanted it to be that way. God said, this battle is mine. I don't win it by sword and spear. He ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him. And he cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their mighty champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout, and they pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. So the wounded Philistines fell along the way from Shaaraim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the Israelites returned from the pursuit and plundered their tents. And David took Goliath's armor as a prize. Isn't that awesome? And that's how it ended for Goliath. You see, who are you going to be this week coming? And I want to encourage you to be, as I start just tying off this message, I want to encourage you to be that person that brings the encounter with God. Don't bring what Eliab has bring. Don't bring what Saul has brought. But bring what David has brought. There's some stubborn hearts here this morning. I see there's a stubborn heart here this morning. God's been knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking at your door. But as a Goliath, you've been standing against God and say, I need you to prove yourself to me, Lord. God says, boy, I'm calling you this morning. You need to answer my call, for your time is short. God is knocking on your door this morning. I don't know who that is this morning, but that's a real unction from the Holy Spirit right there. Don't let your stubbornness keep you from that prize. You see, because the fear in the Israelites' heart kept them from obtaining that prize that Saul offered to go fight Goliath. Your stubbornness of your heart will keep you from heaven. It will keep you from spending eternity with Jesus. Don't do that this morning. I want to invite you to take God's up on his offer. He's been knocking many years, and you've been walking it out your own way and saying, Lord, I'll do it my way. God says, give me the reins, give me the control this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I want to invite anybody that does not know God or need to renew their commitment to God to pray this prayer with me, with all the eyes closed and all the heads bowed. I need you to indicate to me that you want to live your life for God, or you want to rededicate that life to God. And by a show of hand, you put up your hand this morning, and I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to walk it out with you. That's you this morning. Just quickly put up your hand and say, I want to give my life to God, or I want to rededicate to God, or God, I want to answer your call
because there's a great calling. We're all going to pray together this morning. Jesus, I don't know you yet, but I want to. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and the forgiveness that you brought. Please come live in my life and take control. Please help me do life with you. Amen. If that was you this morning and you prayed that for the first time, you didn't have the courage to put up your hand, or you were still too stubborn to do it, you come see me afterwards and you come say, hey, Will, that was me. And I'm going to really pray with you because I feel that person is here and that stubborn heart is preventing you from making that decision. It's prevented you for years now. And God said, it's about time. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for this morning. Father, I pray that everybody here will be blessed this morning, Lord, to take this message into this week and be a David. Carry a David attitude, Lord. Carry faith with them, Lord. Carry you with them, Lord, in Jesus' name. And into every situation that they encounter this week, every meeting that they go to, that they'll take you into it with them, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Don't go alone. Go with Jesus. Don't do it alone. You see, it's difficult when you do it alone. Thank you, Father God, for that, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen.